Here we are, together, on the first day of October. I think that the first day of each month really does need to be celebrated because it's the beginning of a new chapter. And surely, the chapters of our life don't always conform with the months of the year. But here's what's involved, and that is that for many people, they are. For the collective consciousness that we share, the beginning of months really do present a point of coordination. And I like to give some thought to how are we coordinated? What will most of us be doing in the coming months? What will we be preparing for, enjoying, celebrating, dealing with, whatever the case may be? It is a coordination point, and I just like to say welcome to October. We had an interesting September, which was, I don't think we can say it was one of our better moments to experience together. There were a lot of traumas in the world, a lot of prayers needed, and I'm so glad that we were here to offer those blessings and those prayers. So welcome to the beginning of a new chapter, and let's let it wash everything clean so that really we really are starting a new chapter. And next I want to welcome Nancy. She's here with us again. Thank you, darling Aunt Nancy. We love you and can't wait to hear your sweet, sweet voice.
Well, I just love being here. It's such a privilege and a blessing. So welcome, everybody. I'm so happy we're together again. This is such a gift. I know each of us get so much out of this every week. It sustains us and carries us forth. So thank you, Glenda, as always, for being here and being for us in your heart throughout the week. So I just am so glad to be here. Happy Sunday, everybody.
Oh, good. Yeah, we hear it in your voice, you know? And feel it in your love. So
I have
some excellent messages today that came to me before the call, but they didn't come to me in the form of a monologue, a presentation. So I'm sure that the one who watches us all knew what questions were going to come up. So I'm just going to sit back and wait for them. Let's open our board, Nancy.
Okay. Hi, everyone. Let me see our first caller. I believe it's Stormy. Hi, Stormy.
Yes. I really want to give blessing to the fact that, Glenda, you asked me to be on this call a while back ago, and I consider that a great blessing that God has put you and I together for the last 30 years. In various mm-hmm. aspects of our lives that we both have grown, and we've both seen each other grow. Mm-hmm. And I just consider it a special blessing today. I want to give thanks that you have asked me to be there for you. And I am. And this blesses me in so many ways.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. I'm so glad to hear that, Stormy. And
yeah, you hear the
call.
You hear the emotion in my voice, and it is.
Yeah,
God has lets me know more of who I am every day.
Isn't that wonderful?
Yes, it is.
We can all have that, Stormy, if we just listen. I think what's so wonderful about the work you do is that you listen. You listen to the music of the stars. You listen to nature. You listen to each other. You are, you know, you exemplify the teaching that God is always speaking. The problem is we're not always listening. So, I just want to acknowledge that about you, Stormy, and the gift you give to us by being a great loving listener, and wish you a continuous flow of wonderful days.
And as I've said before, do you hear yourself in my music? I hear you in my song.
I haven't heard your music in a long time, Stormy, but it did affect me that way when I did. And I believe there was a time when we offered it in our store, but for some reason that just could not continue materializing. So maybe God took it back to heaven. I don't know. But anyway, I'm so glad you're still doing it.
I know where it is, Glenda. And that's all I need to know is I know where it's at.
Yeah. Yeah, you do. All right. All right, my friend.
Thank you, Stormy. We shall. Okay. Thank you, Stormy, for opening our calls today. We love you. And Eva, your line is open now. Good afternoon. How are you doing?
Well, I'm still in bed and trying to get moving a little more. It's getting little, very, very little by little, it seems, better. But I still want some more blessings to hear this stuff, and I hope that what you were saying about the month and the first of the month and being a new chapter, I really want and feel like I need a new chapter in my life. And so it's not so much fun just being lying in bed all day. So that's the story of my life.
You have a bed to lie in, and you are getting better. So let's be grateful for what we have, and most definitely, we will continue you in our blessings with much, much love.
Thank you much. And I was trying to get on the call yesterday and wondering why you weren't there. I was kept waiting, and I said, well, where are they? And finally, it dawned on me. I was waiting for probably 10 or 15 minutes. And then finally it dawned on me that, oh, this is Saturday. It's not Sunday. So I gave up.
Well, I did that a lot when I was in more of a confined condition, recuperating from my years of trauma. I did that a lot. Because when we don't go out and we don't engage with the world, it's very, very easy to move into the timeless space. And it's not that anything is wrong with your mind. It's just that you, as a person, you are timeless. You know, and it's good to realize that sometimes you, as a soul, are timeless. So if you're not down here on the earth doing everyday earth-oriented things, we can lose track of it.
Yeah. And then this weekend, my family was away at a conference for Friday night, Saturday, Sunday. They'll come home this evening. So she did get other help for me, which was fortunate. But it was just, a little bit scary for me. I always said I wouldn't want to live alone. And I don't like I just want somebody here.
In your condition, you need that.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So anyway.
Well, I'm so glad you got it. That in itself is a blessing.
Yeah, it was. It was. So.
All right.
Thank you so much. Appreciate it.
You're very welcome.
I wonder, Glenda, sometimes I say, how in the world did you do what you did with all your pain and the stuff that you went through too? And,
God did it. God did it. I didn't do a doggone thing. I tried, but, I would just crumble into my pain and not be able to do anything. I would pray.
You came on the call every day.
I was. And I did my work every day. And I don't know how I did. I really, really don't, Eva. Which shows that there is part, that there are many layers to our being, many layers. And that lower level is the one that suffers in physical pain or emotional discouragement. And then above that are other layers. Fortunately, I have cultivated my ability to rise to those other layers and activate them. And it allows me to not exactly work without pain, but work without the pain stopping me. So I'm actually, this is kind of a report from my side of of the universe. I'm actually working on my first new book, which is the hub of it is the course that we, the webinar we had called The Only Way Out Is Up, but incorporated with wisdom that was extracted from other venues that have been presented in the past and other transmissions of Yeshua. But what it really involves is the power of, you know, we think we can move up layers in the outer world, like a higher pay grade or better friends, better doctoring. There's always something better we can look for in the world outside ourselves. And these things do and frequently can make major improvements in our life. But we then just walk into another box. And very soon, our world is filled with these other boxes. And we come to realize that they're in a warehouse called the world. What we have to do is find that internal elevator that takes us to different floors of our being. It's, I don't want in any way to disregard what you're suffering, Eva, but the fact is so many people suffer this because they can't find that elevator to trigger the upward movement internally, but you can. It's always there. And I think you're going to get a great deal of benefit from this new book, which I'm hoping to release before Christmas. So, yeah, you're going to like it. And it's because, you know, I'm addressing your needs and the needs of millions of people who are struggling with lack of mobility in the outer world. And I'm not talking about social mobility. I'm talking about any kind of mobility. Like, well, where do I go next? Where do I look next? And we find something that's a little better, and it becomes the next box. And we need that. We need to find that part of ourselves which can hit escape velocity and not be free of the world, but be free of entrapment in the world. Because I think the most discouraging thing for you right now is that you feel trapped in this condition. Yeah. And then if you're left behind with no one, you would feel very, very scared because you can't provide enough movement for yourself. So, yes, I totally understand. And I'm sure everybody on this call has had some moment that resembles what you're going through. So you're not alone. And that's the most important thing I want to tell you, is you're not alone. We're here for you. We pray for you. God is always there for you. Yeshua is there for you. The Holy Spirit is there for you. And they will help you find that elevator. You've probably noticed that after prayer or something particularly beautiful or inspiring, you feel up for a little while. You feel it. And you stay
I usually feel up after I'm on this call. That's nice.
That's what I'm talking about. You can feel it, but the world comes back to put a lid over your head. Yeah.
Right.
And this is what we need to learn to blast through. So Yeshua is coming to your rescue, and I'll try to be the best messenger I can be.
Thank you so much.
In the meantime, do your best and we'll pray for you.
Thank you so much. I appreciate that a lot.
You're welcome.
We sure will. We love you, Eve. We are praying for you. So feel the love. And we have Elizabeth here today. Hi, Elizabeth. How are you today?
Hi, Nancy. Hi, Glenda. Another thank you, Yeshua. Thank you, Glenda. Thank you, Nancy, for all the blessings. And I am flying back to Sydney, Australia on this coming Friday and staying for 6 weeks to just see how it is. That's where I'm from originally. And I would just ask Yeshua's blessings because I'm at a big turning point in my life and I'm just trying to work out, as you were just saying, where to go, where to be, what to do. I'm in the middle of transition to something bigger and better. So this trip is part of it, and I would just ask blessings for the trip, you know, for the planes to be safe on time, all of those little details, getting to airports, meeting friends and meeting the right people when I'm there that I need to see and speak to, all of that. For every little detail, I'd ask blessings for. And Glenda, I just wanted to know, is this phone number on WhatsApp? Because I'd love to be on the calls when I'm there. But I've got WhatsApp on the phone. I didn't know whether this number was on WhatsApp that I could dial in to be on the calls when I'm in Australia. But if not, probably I won't be able to.
Well, actually, this phone is on WhatsApp. I don't know how well it would work in harmony with a regular telephone call. It's possible that you could be listening on WhatsApp, but I may not be able to engage with you.
Okay, that's fine. I won't engage. I just wanted to be here, be there, listen, because I love it so much, and be there for the blessing. I don't have to, in the time I'm away, I don't need to engage. But if this number is on WhatsApp, I can put it in my phone, because I'm on WhatsApp, and I talk to people all over the world on it. So that'd be great. I'll put it in, and Yeshua will make it work, if it's meant to work.
Yes, let's try. Okay.
Yes.
Let's see.
Okay.
We have people around the world that try.
Yes. Exactly.
With the blessings, and we don't always end on time. Especially lately, we've had some really, really good calls and messages, and I just had to roll with it.
Of course, yes, I've been here for everyone. It doesn't matter whether it ends on time or not. I'll make a time and be there till the end. That's not the problem. There is no problem. It's all going to work out. I'm so glad this number's on WhatsApp, and I'm going to put it on in my phone when I finish this call, and everything will be lovely. Everything will work out.
Send me a message, and I will reply to confirm that we're connected, okay?
Okay. Okay, Glenda. Well, thank you so much for
the
blessing, and thank you for the community and all you've done to help me. I'm very excited, and I know this is going to be very good for my life in whatever way it turns out, one day at a time.
Well,
thank you for all you've done.
Thank you so much. And how I can build on what you said in a universal way that reflects and applies to everyone. Is sometimes there's nothing like homecoming. There's nothing like homecoming. You were created in perfection. And even if you think you were not created in the right place for the right reason, you were. You were. It's just that after you were created, not all the right things might have happened just the way you wanted them. So homecoming can be an internal thing coming back to the way you knew yourself most basically before you engaged with the world, who you are, who you were, because you still are, or going back to a place of your birth, going back to your family, going back to the work you loved. Right now, for me, writing this new book is homecoming. It's like, it's been a long time since I wrote a book. The last one was The Way to a Greater Life. And wow, you know, that's a long time since I wrote that. So this is like homecoming for me. And I'm looking forward in the coming months to painting a new painting. That will be like homecoming for me. And just, you know, I will be blessed with the presence of Yeshua as I write this book, for sure. And that's like homecoming for me. So there are many ways you can experience homecoming. But I really encourage it. It's one of the most wonderful forms of therapy that exists anywhere on any dimension. And a really wonderful example of that are the reports of people who were blessed with a near-death experience. They went home, they came back, and their life was changed totally, totally. Not that they became a different identity, but they became, again, who they are and were able to tolerate the variable challenges of this context in the world. So it's however you can get homecoming. Let's get it. Let's go for it. And one of the best ways I know is in prayer. But not the kind of prayer where it's, oh, Father, can you help me through this problem? Oh, Father, can you heal me? Can you get me out of this conflict? No, it's more like the prayer that Yeshua gave the apostles to pray, which begins with our Father, which art in heaven. Hallowed be your name. Thy will be done. Thy kingdom come on earth as it is in heaven. Okay. In that prayer, he was teaching the apostles how to first approach homecoming before you present your needs. And that's why that prayer is so powerful, because you go home first. And then you're in the presence of the one Yeshua called Abba, which means Father. You are kneeling before Abba, and his hands are reaching for you. And then at that moment, when you pray for what you need, it's more like asking Daddy to comfort you and see that the problems go away. And many of the problems have already gone away simply because you went home. That was actually one of the messages I was prepared to say. So thanks for bringing it about, Elizabeth. And I wish you a blessed and safe trip back to your homeland. Nancy, let's take the new caller.
Thank you, Elizabeth. Gosh, that's so great. Glenda, love that so much. It makes me think of so many things. We've got more callers. Let's see. We have Mary.
Hello, Mary. Hey, you guys. Hi. Can you hear me okay?
Perfectly. Yes.
Okay. Well, I just want to thank everyone who's spoken, and I want to thank Glenda, because really you've given so much blessing to what's in my heart, and I'm a little bit hesitant to even bring this blessing request up, but if you would just bear with me, I promise that at the end of my story, it's a story where I am just praying for more wisdom and compassion and enlightenment. And I know that I am a spiritual being here on this earth, and that I am a child of God, and that heaven is my home, and that it is my spirituality that takes me up, as you say, Glenda, in that elevator to higher ground regarding all things. I know that this is true. I also, as a citizen of the earth and as a citizen of the country I live in, I believe that I'm here to try to anchor that frequency and that love of heaven wherever I stand. And part of that for me is my politics. And mm-hmm. I have just a very, very short but meaningful story where I'm going to mention a little bit of politics, but it's not too, it's, but there's a loving reason. So I am a Democrat. I love Joe Biden. I love the fact that we've been blessed by God with the vaccine. I am very disheartened that money for Ukraine was left out of the politics of last night in the United States. And I sit with all of these things in my heart as I watch what's unfolding in my country. So the other day, my friend came over, my beloved friend who I adore, and my news channel happened to be on, and she realized that that's not the same news channel she watches, and she told me from her heart that she loves Donald Trump, that she feels like the vaccine is corrupt and there's things we don't know, and what we're being told is so wrong, and that only the Republican Party is right. And the two of us looked at each other and we thought, oh my gosh, we are two friends sitting here on my couch looking at this great divide, but we are holding hands and we are forming a bridge of love and respect and unity and a sincere desire to understand each other. And we're going to let our love be the bridge throughout whatever unfolds. And we're going to let our love and our desire to hold hands guide us through whatever else happens in our country and in our world. And so I just want to ask that blessing for our country and for anyone who is maybe experiencing internal conflict. And I hope it's okay that I did mention some things political, but they're more to aspire to all things of love. So thank you. And I lay this at the feet of Yeshua and at this beloved community. And thank you for letting me share what's in my heart.
It's fine. It's fine. What's in your heart needs to be expressed. Now, I'm not going to take sides with anybody. You know me.
Right.
And partly because it would be inappropriate, but also because our country was not created by politics. And no matter what side you're on, you're not going home. What we have to remember is that our nation was created by the people, for the people, of the people. And we have to remember to keep that priority above what the news presents, what disagreements may emerge from polarity. And remember that the word politics is built out of polarity. In other words, taking a difference of opinion, a different stand on life, a different stand on what can and should be done. The people of this country are what need to be honored. Our values need to be honored. And we can only do that by being at this center point of ourselves, where we are connected to God. And as Yeshua said, when he was asked about, should I pay taxes? should I honor Caesar? And he just kind of shrugged his shoulders, and probably in a very casual voice, which I heard him be in. Well, give to Caesar what belongs to Caesar, but give to God what belongs to God. I will be very, very unhappy if the banner "In God We Trust" is ever removed from our official documents. That will disturb me very much.
Me too. Me too.
What this president or that president or this side of the Congress or that side of the Congress banter back and forth. It's like, okay, I just want to say, all right, kids, play nice, please. Can you have a little bit of respect? You know, that's my take on it. No judgment at all, because actually you're reflecting in your presentation the very nature of conflict that all of us are witnessing. Not everybody on this call bothers to take a position in it, but we're all witnessing it. And we know that it's going to play out in the next year, and we'll see what comes of it. And if the will of God prevails and the rightness of the people is upheld, I'll be happy. I'll be happy with either way it goes. So that's kind of where I stand on all of this.
Thank you, Glenda. Thank you. I'll be standing on the bridge.
Okay.
Seeking
that bridge in place, all right.
Yeah, that elevator bridge. Thank you. Love you all.
Okay, my dear. And
all right.
God bless
Thank you.
You
for,
you're in our prayer.
Yeah.
Bye-bye.
Okay. Thank you, Mary, for sharing your heart. We have Christopher, Glenda. Christopher, can you hear us?
Yes. Hello. Hi. Can you hear me?
Hello.
We can.
Well, happy Sunday, everybody. And I just want to acknowledge that I went to church this morning and there were a lot of dogs there because they had Animal Blessing Day. And it's in at least in the Episcopal Church, it's the St. Francis Day celebration. And I was just so happy to hear these wonderful songs that have been patterned after his words, and these prayers that have been patterned after his words, just really giving praise. Thanks to this entire creation that God made, and seeing these wonderful four angels all around us wagging their tails and just wanting to give love to everybody regardless of who they are. And I just wanted to say a blessing for all of our four-legged friends, the ones that have come before, the ones that are with us now, and acknowledge the angels that they are in our lives. And I want to say special blessing for my four-legged friend Heidi Ho, who's my friend's dog. But she's a very special companion in my life, and I've never quite had that level of loving connection with an animal until her. And she's sick now. She has a tumor that's been rapidly growing, so she's having surgery tomorrow. Heidi Ho, on her right front leg, to remove that tumor. Apparently the doctor says that it will maybe help completely rid it from her body if they remove it surgically. So blessings to her, and I mean, she's been such an angel to all of us, and blessings in her healing process, and also to her owners. All this comes in the wake of her owner losing his mother and a very big falling out within their family. So I just want to honor the healing of that family system as well. So blessings. And also one more blessing for my brother, who just had a knee replacement a few days ago, and he's starting physical therapy this week. So just a blessing. He's nervous about entering physical therapy because I think he's in a lot of pain. And he actually reached out to me and said some healing. What did he say? Some healing magic is needed right now, so please help. Just want to honor his reaching out and anybody else who's in physical pain, and that miraculous healing of Christ can come to them. Thank you.
Amen. Amen to it all. And give your precious little doggy a scratch on the neck for me.
Thank you. I will.
All right.
Thank you. Thank you, Christopher. We all love St. Francis. I went to St. Francis of Assisi Catholic School for 8 years when I was a little girl. And I've always had a special place. Yeah. So we have Sarah. Hi, Sarah.
Aloha to this beautiful community and to Glenda and Nancy. I am so grateful to be walking the earth, walking in where my home place is in Massachusetts, where I was raised. And we just had this beautiful October day and this week, and the colors are out, and I just am so grateful to be here and to be with you in community. I want to ask for a blessing, ongoing blessings for my dad, Peter. God bless his mind and his body and his continued healing. And for all of our elders, God bless them, and may they receive all of the support and care and love that we have to offer. And I want to ask a special blessing for myself and for any of my brothers and sisters who can relate to this, for really just working on elevating my communication. And really, I seek to be where those in community with me and relationship with me could express. I want to be able for them to express themselves freely, openly. So I want to be more in my I am presence, to not be triggered or rejected or shut down or on any communication. Just continuing elevation for that, to be able to hear with compassion and empathy, and to be able to express with compassion and empathy and truth. And so continuing the elevation of our communication.
That's a great request. Great request. And I know that our Heavenly Father will honor it. So you just stay with it, hold the love and the focus, and it will happen.
Yes, I have that faith. Thank you so much.
You're very, very welcome. And I'm so glad to hear that you're doing well, and everything is moving forward for you, and that your world is like cinematography right now.
Right.
All the colors right there. Yeah.
I miss that part of the world.
When the sky is blue behind all of this red, orange, purple, and yellow. You can't help but be
stunning.
Awesome.
So awesome. It's so awesome. Absolutely spectacular world that God has created. So blessed.
Yes. Oh, yes.
Amen. For sure. I grew up in Connecticut, Sarah, and I really miss those beautiful colors. But we get some colors here. We get color too, though. And so not like up there, but still appreciated, you know?
Well, a blessing for your homecoming, for all of us to visit the places of our birth and really reconnect.
Amen. Yes.
Yeah, and there's many ways we can do that without getting on an airplane.
Yes.
Right.
All right. God bless you.
God bless you. We don't have any more callers, so community, if there's something in your heart or you just want to be thankful or just connect, we have some time here. Otherwise, we'll love to hear from Glenda. I know she has some wonderful things to share today. So however it goes is perfect.
Well, thank you, Nancy. I always have wonderful things to share. And I just want to start by thanking you for that adorable picture of your new baby grand boy. He is so adorable. My goodness.
Yeah, he's even smiling when he's sleepy. I just think that he seems very content. And
he's a happy boy.
Yeah,
he really is.
Yeah,
how can you put him down? I can't imagine. You know.
No, and I love that his calm nature is confirmation for them that, you know, they're nervous new first time parents, and so him seeming happy and content to letting them know, hey, maybe we're doing this pretty good. So they're funny, but they're doing great. They're doing great. So yeah, blessings for them. Blessings for all new parents. And actually, I'll add a blessing request for Amber and Gary. My son Gary and Amber are expecting their third, and she's due a week from today. And her mom got into town yesterday, so everything's going well. The baby was breech, and she was going to have this procedure called aversion to flip the baby. It's kind of really kind of physical, violent. And he ended up deciding to flip on his own, so that's exciting. And so, yeah, just blessings for them that everything.
Everything's got another one coming. You got
week.
Another one coming. Oh my
yes.
goodness. Wow. Nancy, are you going to repopulate the world?
I know, I'm looking at my Christmas list. I feel like my mom. You know, mom and dad had 42 grandkids. And, you know, I know. And she always wanted to give every one of them a little something at Christmas. And finally I said, Mom, maybe just give me like a picture of you. It's like we could turn it into like a bookmark.
Yeah.
So anyway. She was funny.
Oh,
she was great.
Oh, my goodness. Well, you're going to get up there, too. But, you know, the world could use a lot more Freeborgs. I mean, you guys, your family is so special. The values and the creativity and the beauty of heart that runs through your family is like, I'd like to see 62 of you.
You're so sweet. Oh, I love you so much.
Don't mean to put a burden on you, but, you know, can't get too much of a good thing. So.
No, you can't. And I tell you, when you told us to love one another, you know, it's really very powerful to do that. And you really need help with that sometimes. But when we ask, he's really there to help us with that. So I'm thankful for that. So, but we do have four callers. It looks like Susan, I think your line's open.
Hi, everybody. Hi, Nancy. Hi, Glenda. Hi,
Hello.
Community. So I want to say, yesterday I wound up calling my brother. I've, in the last few years, had some difficulty with my relationship with him. And it occurred to me, I don't know, maybe a month or so ago, you know, to call him, but I knew not to because I wasn't really in my heart. And it was just, you know, like, oh, do that type of thing. And I didn't, which I'm really glad that I didn't. And yesterday, I was clearly in my heart and I knew what I wanted to say. And, I was ready to say it. And so, I was glad that I did. You know, when I finished with the call, I just was so grateful that I have a sense of knowing, you know, am I in my heart or am I not? Or is it just something, you know, you should do because you should do it? It's a spiritual thing to do and blah, blah, you know. And I held off. And these are the things that is changing in me, this, you know, knowing that wait until there's a shift. And when you make the call, it's coming from the place of my heart. And that was on the heels of a few things with people, but I had gotten a call, you know, the night before from my daughter-in-law, hysterical, who's going with a lot of difficulty with my son and their relationship. And they're both high drama people. And I'm not chaos, high drama. I don't do it well. And I knew I need to be there for them though. And this was sort of like an emergency situation. And, but I knew I needed some help with it. And so I called my eldest son and I said, look, I gotta go over there and I can't do this alone. I need you to be with me.
And it was a situation that we would need to help diffuse, you know, go there to help diffuse. And so that went, I think it went well. I do. I was grateful when I got home that I recognized that I needed help and that I called my eldest son, who is a person who, like, not unlike me, would look to diffuse the situation. And it was really mm-hmm. valuable that I went with him and, you know, these are the things that, you know, and that was on the heels of, you know, thinking about calling my brother and knowing I was ready, really ready to make a good call to him. Mm-hmm. So, you know, this is, I'm working, I'm doing my work. And
very excellent.
Thanks.
And I want to call attention to several things that you really did right, that you did, because I want to make sure everybody else caught this. One of the things that with your son is you made him feel useful. You made him feel useful. That feeling, making someone useful is an amazing bridge into cooperation and service and harmony. One of the things every person on this earth, I don't know about totally pathological people because I don't have any connection with them and I have to trust that to God. But of people who are relatively normal human beings, if they're not all, even if they're not always kindly disposed, everybody wants to be useful. And it's a wonderful entry point into difficult situations. I need you. Everybody wants to be needed. You expressed your need, the fact that he could be helpful and useful, and he knew that he would be in a valued position. And that allowed him to cooperate with you. That's one of the big things you did. The other thing, which is really important you did earlier, is you recognize that your heart can say no. So many times we think of our heart as a Valentine's card. It's always going to say yes. It's always going to say love. It's always going to say, oh, wouldn't that be wonderful? Oh, I'm so excited to, I want to have some good news. We become emotionally dependent upon what we call our heart, which isn't our heart at all. It's some kind of core fixture in our personality or our emotional body that has been created to give us feel-good feelings. We want to feel good about things. And that emotional core that was actually created to help us feel good about most of life is not your actual true heart. It's not. Yes, your heart will give you the affirmation always when you're doing the right thing or you're proposing or trying to find the right thing. But sometimes your real true heart, the heart of your life, will say no because it's protecting you. And the other thing is you look for guidance within it. The most important thing your real true heart does is guide you. This was all contained in the seven intelligences of the heart that Yeshua dictated to me and scribed for me when I wrote the book, how we seek guidance from the heart. So you sought guidance, you respected its ability to say no, which tells me you were talking to your real heart. You weren't just talking to your emotional body, trying to find some feel-good affirmation. You were really, really in your heart. And so there were many things you did right, but these are the three things that stand out for me, is that you accepted no from your heart. And you knew your heart knows. And then when it was time, your heart provided guidance, which you listened to. Okay? And then, you you made somebody else feel useful and important. These are strategic movements that only a child of God would know. And it came from heavenly guidance. So I just want to congratulate you on that and say, well done.
Thank you. And I cannot tell you, I use the oil, because what I need, from the archangels, with all of them, but with particular emphasis with, Archangel Raphael. And I remember the course we took, and every day you had some writings for what each archangel does.
Mm-hmm.
And so when I put the oil on, you know, in the morning on my heart and in the Sacred Heart in the back, and I repeat, and I sometimes find resistance. Why do I have to repeat this every day? Because the repetition, as you use the oils, will make everything more powerful. So read it out loud every day.
Every day. I don't know. Every day. And you know, it's interesting because, well, I've expressed this before to our group, is I've recently become fond of a rabbi that is online, and I'm just loving to hear the Torah equivalent to the Old Testament, because it actually clarifies for me many of the words that didn't quite come across the bridge accurately. And one of the things I have learned that is part of your Jewish protocol is a lot of repetition. And so, So I have a little more instinctive rapport with your foundation of beliefs, even though we're moving in the same direction.
That's interesting, because, you know, I don't really know a lot. I couldn't sit and talk about all the holidays and this. And I mean, know some of the one I know most is in the year, but all, you know, the rest is a blur, even though I'm told what half of them mean. And I'm not wired pretty much that way, but on unconscious level, I'm sure I must be.
Oh, you would be on an unconscious level. You it would be inescapable, my dear. But you know, the thing is, and one of the things that I have learned from the rabbi is that Judaism is a choice about whether you take it as a religion or it's a way of life. And he said the original meaning is a way of life. And he said, I'm not here to teach you about it as a religion, because I don't even go there, even though I know how to do it. And I'm trained mm-hmm. and educated in every aspect of Judaism. Said, what I think is most valuable to teach my congregation, and he's always in front of his own congregation. You know, he's never actually just speaking to the world, but it's broadcast to the world, which I think is great. Is that,
I'd like to hear that.
You know,
did you ever put it, maybe you can send me his link or whatever. I'd love to listen to it.
I will. And
I'd
actually, I do want to send it to everybody, but I have to preface it in the right way, because I'm not suggesting that everyone should now convert to Judaism. But you know, the thing is, I have learned from every religion of the world, because all of them are rooted originally in practices
Absolutely.
Of life that give us a better life. And then
along
the way, as congregations gathered, it's the congregation that created the religion. And the same is absolutely true for Christianity. And this is one of the reasons I'm enjoying going back to the foundation of teachings that Yeshua brought to the world. Well,
exactly.
Ultimately, they were divine teachings, but he was rooted in Judaism. Okay.
Right.
Is that he did not come to start a religion, and he didn't. He didn't found a church. He, what
right.
he, what he taught was the way, and the way was how to have a better life that leads back home to God. That was it.
Right.
That was
and
it.
And any good teacher and any good master of any religion, if that's what it's rooted in, that's the pure, you know, way of life that leads mm-hmm. us to God. And it doesn't matter whether it's, you know, Sai Baba or Jesus or the finest rabbis. It doesn't matter. It, you know, it really doesn't.
No,
it does. If they have wisdom and teaching, that's it. And it, and inspiration, that's it for me. You know,
we all have something to teach each other. We do. Even, you know, and this is not a theological statement at all. It's a real life statement. It's about truth. When we compare realities, we're able to see the truth that holds them together. And, that's what I love about reaching out. And, I wanted to finish my comment about the evolution of Christianity. Is it didn't start as a religion. It started as teachings of truth. Teachings of truth, how to have a better life that takes you back to God. That was it.
I think
and
so. And I think that, no, go ahead. I'm sorry.
Okay. You'll have your turn in just a minute. The stories and the teaching are what built all the communities of, and they didn't even call themselves Christians for maybe, oh, I would say at least 100 years. And that came from the fact that the apostles and the students of apostles, in other words, the second, third generation of apostles, would go to communities and they would say, here come the Christ men. Here come the Christ. And of course they were all men because women did not travel alone in those days at all. So they were men. Here come the Christ men. And it was shortened into Christians. And, they didn't have conformed beliefs. They had values. They had truths that they applied to life, and they had love. They had love for one another. They had common values, and they had truth. That was it. And it was only the conformed beliefs as they emerged that created what we know today as religion. Just one more sentence, Susan, and you can talk. The word religion means binding together. So it's people who need religion in order to bind them together in a common expression of faith. It's all yours, Susan.
No, I just wanted to say that, and why would he do that 2,000 years ago? Because it's easy to lose our way. it's easy to lose our way in Judaism. Why would that even be necessary? Is because we, you know, we lost our way, and so we have to find it, you know, to find the way back home to what it's easy. It's very easy. I always liken it to being in a tree and going off on the, you know, going off on the branches and then being out there and saying, how did I get here? It's easy to lose our way. And so revisions and reform, I don't care if it's Judaism or anything else. And so to me, Jesus came. Yeshua came because we were losing our way and
absolutely.
What could be, you know, and so like you say, you know, that evolved and then it became Christians, but you know, it's really simple and,
it isn't
complicated. It really is very simple. It's
it
a shame
is.
We complicate everything, but it really is very simple.
It started simple with Moses. And stayed simple with Abraham, and then eventually, the expanse of Jewish population was so broad they needed to bind themselves into religion. Religion means the binding.
I didn't know that.
That's what. Yeah.
No.
That's what the word means.
I didn't know.
So as Christianity grew, it needed to bind itself into a common faith. Expression of faith. And, it was true of all religions, you know. Originally, the Hindus did not have, elaborate temples to go to. They had, beliefs and practices of life and celebrations of life. And eventually, they needed to bind themselves. And typically, they will build great not Hindus. I'm talking about everybody, Buddhists, Hindus, Christians, Jews, Islam, all of us eventually will have some headquarters that we build that becomes the hub of the binding instrument, which is then religion. Well, so then new generations come about, and the new generations don't have access to the truth. The only thing they experience is the binding of faith, and they rebel. Can you blame them?
Mm-hmm.
Okay, so Yeshua comes to me, and he just talks to me. He didn't give me a new religion. He didn't tell me anything about religion. He just talked to me and let me mm-hmm. hear him speak the truth again. And that's what we do, and that's what we're here for. We're here to listen to one another, you know? And it's really amazing how we all are expressing the need for the same thing, but in different ways, with different predicaments. But mm-hmm. we're all looking for the same thing. And that's why I began our call with an encouragement to go home. It's very therapeutic.
Yeah. Yeah, it's funny. Full circle around.
Yeah, it is. Okay, well, thank you, Susan. It was
thanks.
Great. I think
thank
we've got
you.
One more caller.
We do.
Okay.
Thanks, Susan. So glad to
thank
hear you,
you love
today.
You, Nancy.
Love you, too. Thank you. Let's see, we have Casey.
Yes, here I am.
Hello.
I am. Well, listen, I tell you what, I just watched the YouTube, and I was going to call you, and then I'll just make it plain and simple here. This is not a plain and simple subject, but I just want people to understand, again, what's happening with children when they come over the border. Now, this particular one, this YouTube, talks about the United States being the largest trafficker of children in the world. Children that are legally kidnapped and brought across the Mexican border are then sold off to wealthy Americans used as sex slaves and worse. If you can imagine anything worse that's happening, and the big corporations aren't telling anything about it. So then I wrote a little bit about it. In Brownsville, Texas, thousands and thousands and thousands of children are being put up in lots of big Walmart empty buildings. And this man who was there and who told the story talked all about it. And it is he was a former immigrant. I'm going to get to my point here. He's a former U.S. immigration contractor. He said people don't want to touch the story, and if they do touch it briefly, it goes, because there's so much evil behind it. And then I wrote down here, holds so much power over people, gets kept in the dark, and we can, and then he says, hopefully we can expose it. I don't accept hopefully. We will expose it. Now, this is why I'm calling. I think that there should be a organization in the United States of America, of each state, and organized through different churches or any kind of a thing possible. And in Iowa, I live in Fairfield, Iowa. Glenda, I met you there. And I listened
oh, yeah.
to you talk in the auditorium, and I loved you.
Oh,
and I tell
you
what, ever since my life has changed, and I realize that if everybody in all churches could just stand and hold hands and love each other, we wouldn't need churches.
No.
It's kind of idealistic, but that's really what Jesus
no,
wants.
No, it actually is. Historically true. Historically true.
Yes.
When truth is alive, you
yes.
don't need anything.
So I'm 84. I just turned 84 in September. And I'm just starting a business, and it's going to explain what addictions are, what the addiction of the brain is, all kinds of addictions that we have these days, what alcoholism is, and et cetera, et cetera. So I am going to start a business, and I want to put this under the auspices of a business. Somehow, we could get a grant to do this, whoever we are. I don't accept the fact those children are scared to death. He said a little five-month-old baby. My two little girls were molested when they were little girls. They were little, little, and nobody knew. And when they got to be 29 and 32, they started having memories, and they opened up. And they both had nervous breakdowns.
Oh, my goodness.
So, you know, the lady before you had some wonderful things to say. I really appreciated what she said. But being 84, it's like I don't have who knows how long I have left to go. Doggone it, I'm not sitting in a wheelchair. And I'm not sitting feeling sorry for myself. I want to go, and I want to get things done. If anybody has any ideas what we can do, that would be great. I'd like to send this email or this video to you, Glenda.
Please do. Please do. Glenda, please just send it to glendagreen@gmail.com.
GlendaGreen@gmail. Good.
Well, I've got to interrupt for one thing. Casey, when you first started talking, I was trying to remember where I met you because you sounded like you were 34 years old.
34?
Uh-huh.
Well, it was 19, it was a couple years after you came out. I think it said he finished in 1992, and then 4 years it took you. You came to Fairfield around that time, and it was in the auditorium in Fairfield, and I sat way down in front. I didn't want anybody to distract me, and you told your whole story, and I totally believed it.
Well,
I tell you what,
you
I grew up in the Catholic
You got
Church.
A new life, my dear. Because you do not sound 84 years old.
I know. I know I don't. I'm healthy. I'm very healthy. I broke my leg.
Well, it shows in your voice. Yeah.
Oh, I know. I have a strong voice. Yeah.
Yes, you
do. I do a meditation technique, which really helps.
See, Casey, the subject is a powerful subject. One,
yes, it's powerful.
Too big to take up at this point in our call, but I want to get the video from you, and and perhaps we can email each other about it. It's a terrible, terrible thing that's going on, and I encourage all of you to remember these children in your prayers, because I have not personally witnessed how bad it is, but from what I hear, it's pretty horrible. So remember them in your prayers, and we will remember them in the blessing today. And thank you so much, Casey, for bringing this to our attention.
You're very welcome, Glenda, and bless you all. I love you, Glenda.
Yes.
You've changed my life. Jesus, that's what changed my life. I got your 14 CD tapes.
Uh-huh.
And when I get done, I start thinking negatively. I have them on my kitchen counter, and I play them all the time.
Oh, my goodness.
And I've done
this
for years.
You're right. That is correct. And I'm so glad to hear it. That's why you're staying young. Well, bye-bye for now, and check in with us whenever you can, okay?
I will. Bye-bye.
Right.
Thanks a lot.
Thank you. Thank you so much.
Well, Nancy, I think it's about time. that we close the board and we all get ready for a wonderful blessing.
Absolutely.
Okay. Did you close the board down already, Nancy?
I ended the question, and I will just mute myself
okay.
now. Love you.
Okay.
Love you, everyone.
Well, all right. Now, you're going to be the active one who's also going to engage in the activity of complete surrender. Now, the reason I phrased it that way, you might think, well, why didn't she just say passive? Because actually, passive doesn't do anything. Surrender is an act of the heart. It's a willingness to receive. Just think about the cold earth of winter surrenders to the warming sun of spring. It didn't go passive. It went transitional. It entered the transition of becoming in a different state, which contains new potential. Surrender is always about receiving. And we tend to have negative feelings sometimes about the word surrender, because we get into situations in life where something outside ourselves or another person or another situation is seeking to dominate us. And we think, if I give in, I'm just being passive and I'm not taking care of my life. No, you could be. But surrendering is actually active. And let me tell you what it is. Let's just say you're in business and a faction you don't like is taking over and it's running the company. Well, surrender is not giving up. It's allowing others to be what they are so that you can find the best in it for yourself. In other words, whatever happens, you turn it to your advantage. You turn it to your advantage. So the cold earth of winter gives way to the warm sun of spring. Well, it doesn't go passive. It actually uses the warm sun to awaken the roots in the earth so that it can provide nourishment through sap to the trunk and the limbs. After a few weeks of increasing warmth, all of a sudden we see buds come out on those limbs. And you could say, well, Glenda, but yeah, it's surrendering to something better. Well, from the earth's viewpoint, who's to say that spring is better than winter? Let me tell you something, my friends. Winter is when all the actual growth occurs. It occurs, the healing occurs in the plant. From the roots. The roots create the template for new growth. They create the stem cells that will produce the growth for a new year. In this resting stage, it's kind of like you in sleep. Who's to say waking is better than sleeping if you're truly sleeping? I don't mean under anesthesia. I mean truly sleeping. You're having REM sleep, dreams, healing your body. You can actually lose weight in your sleep if your body is doing the healing work that it needs to do. Teenagers experience this all the time because they grow so much in their sleep. The growth actually consumes metabolic reserves, and they wake up weighing 5 pounds less, and they well, what did I do wrong? I was trying to put on weight. Well, you slept it off, my friends. But that's what the earth does during winter. The earth actually loves winter because it doesn't have to work on the surface. It can refurbish what's beneath the surface. And that's the transition
that we're going, well, those of us in the Northern Hemisphere, that's what we're going to be experiencing pretty soon. This is why the leaves have to drop off, because the tree needs to return its sap to the roots. That's partly to protect, to nurture the roots and protect them from the cold, but it's also to furnish the roots with all of this energy that the leaves and the stems created with the sun, so that the roots can A, heal themselves, and B, create the new stem cells for next year. So it's all a glorious cycle. And surrender is part of that cycle. So don't confuse it with giving up. Don't confuse it with going passive. It's not. Surrender means you're going out of the active expression in the world into the inner development from which you will draw power for the next activity. So now, I want to call you inwardly into this place now where you're going to receive. And I think one of the reasons, pardon me, just a moment, got to get a drink of water. One of the reasons that so many people have difficulty receiving is because they consider it to be passive and they close the doors down. Well, I've got, it's like you're going to sleep at night, you lock the doors. I'm going passive, I'm going to lock the doors. I don't want to be invaded during my passive state. That's not what you're doing. You're actually going into your surrender state where you're going to receive. You're going to receive everything you need to nurture yourself, to heal yourself, to restore your faith and your dynamics with life. And in that state, that beautiful state of surrender, you're going to enter this realm of divine potential where you will connect with the Holy Spirit and you will connect with Yeshua and Abba, your Father, the one who gave you life in the beginning. You're going home. You're going home. And I think you might remember the last time you went home on this earth. You didn't go there and go past it. You went there and you drew energy, sometimes not always, without a few, why'd you leave, or arguments, but it all surrendered into a great welcoming of you back. And this is what we're looking at today, right now, is we're going home. And when you go home, don't you expect to have a good dinner prepared for you? Or at least some kind of welcome celebration. This was mentioned in the parable of the prodigal son. And that wasn't just meant for wayward teenagers. No. Yeshua, there were many levels to Yeshua's meaning in all things. It was actually a teaching about our return into a state of bliss and surrender, our personal experiences of homecoming. And it doesn't, you don't have to ask forgiveness before you go there. If you read the prodigal son about it, the parable, you'll find that the prodigal son did not ask, Father, forgive me. He didn't. He just knocked on the door and Dad said, come in, my son, come in. And then he alerted all the servants to prepare a feast. In other words, he delivered to him. It's like the tree pulling back its sap in fall. It doesn't ask the sap for forgiveness, for atonement. It takes the gift of the leaves, the gift of the string, of the stems back into the trunk and the trunk back into the roots where it belongs. Welcome home. And then we receive the blessings of homecoming. So receiving is the most natural thing to do. It's about becoming one again. It's not about someone baking cookies when you don't eat sugar anymore. It's not about somebody giving you something to do that you don't want to do. It's not about someone telling you something you don't want to hear or telling you, oh my goodness, well, you need to hit the gym, my friend. That's not homecoming. Homecoming is union, reunion, the union of the self and the self. It's actually two selves on the other side of the fence, and they reunite. They come back. You know, in the beginning, when God created man, and I didn't mean male, because the first human was actually both male and female. It was a complete person. A complete person that later became divided. And only after the division was there any capability for choice, for deviation from original template. Only after they were divided. Oneness was our original state. Union was our original state. This is why when we go into the Sacred Heart, the highest we can become is in a state of union. And not just union with God, but union with ourselves, where we accept all the parts of ourselves, at least for a moment. We accept them all as being expressions of our condition in life. And some of them may need correcting. Some of them may need enhancing. But for this one moment of union, we are together. And we receive. We receive without judgment, without the need to ask forgiveness in order to receive. We're just simply received. We receive with love. And that's it. We receive with guidance. But not direction in the sense of don't go that way, go this way. It's more like nurturing guidance of come forth, my child. I'm giving you all you need. Just come forth. So in order to be in that state, I don't want you to be like frozen up from sitting too long. I want you to stretch. If you can stand, stand. Extend your legs, extend your arms, move them around. If you can't get up, if you're in bed, that's okay. If you can lift your leg, wonderful. If you can bend it, even better. If you can extend your arm, wonderful. If you can bend it and then do little elbow raises of your arms, that will exercise your shoulders, okay? And then move your neck to the sides and up and down, back and forth. If you can lift if you're lying down, if you can just lift the small of your back up a little bit, that flexes your spine, and it makes a huge difference in allowing the energy to flow. Of course, all of you able-bodied people who are standing and moving, you know how to move. Just move so that it feels good. We're not doing yoga. We're not at the gym. I just want you to move as many body parts as you can so they feel good and they feel a little bit stretched and flexible. That's it. Just take another minute and do that. And while you're doing that, take a few deep breaths. Hold them just a minute and release it. Okay? A few more. Deep and then release. Completely. Enjoy the spirit of life moving through you. Now, before I began my prayer to Yeshua, I want you to start your mindful breathing, which is, well, before I say that, get yourself into a comfortable position to receive the blessing. And the best of that is sitting down, if you can, sit. Because that's an easy way to put your feet on the floor, on the ground, wherever you are, on the beach, on the mountainside, wherever you are, because you're going to be receiving energy from the earth. And unless your religion requires it, uncover your head and your feet. Let them be bare. If you must cover them with natural fibers, cotton, silk, wool, linen, something of the sort. Okay. And be prepared to receive energy that will descend from the cosmic realm through your head, pass through your body, circle around your heart, and through your legs into the earth. You're going to give to the earth, and then the earth will give back to you, and it will come back the other direction, and you will give to the cosmos. Release it. Let go of it, because it will also carry with it some of the smudge and the debris that needs to be cleaned out. So let it go. Our beautiful universe was meant to be a perfect instrument of recycling, just as our earth is. So as it goes both ways, let it go. Give it up, and then receive back. Okay? Now, onto our mindful breath. And this has a lot to do with giving and receiving also. It's the four square breath, where we just imagine a box, okay? And we're sitting in the middle of the near side of that box, okay? But you're going to exhale. You're going to exhale and count to four, which is why it's a four square box. But it's your count of four, not mine. And you're going to experience the joy and the grace of giving. You're just going to give with that breath. Give out. Give the joy of just giving breath out to the world. Life. Okay? And next you're going to count to the four while you pause before you take an in-breath. Pause to the count of four. Why? To give time for your breath to be received by the world, and you not re-breathe what you breathed out. Because part of what you breathe out is what you want to get rid of, including CO2. Okay? So you're going to pause. Now you're going to inhale to the count of four. You're going to pull in a gift for yourself, and you're going to take it into the count of four, and now you're going to hold it to the count of four so that your body has a chance to take it and assimilate it so that you don't just exhale what you breathed in. The pauses are critically important. That's where the gifts are given and the gifts are received. If you practice this, you will grow in your ability to A, give gifts, and B, receive gifts, and recognize them as they happen. So let's continue. Okay, let's exhale to the count of four. Pause to the count of four. Inhale to the count of four. And pause to the count of four. Now, continue as I offer my prayer to Yeshua. O Lord of life, thank you most of all for the giving of life and for the giving of your life into our eternal life. We ask to be receivers and re-givers of all that you have given us. We ask for your blessings today, for all that we've celebrated, all that we've expressed concern about, all that we have given our hearts into, all that we need. And we ask most of all that you show us how we can give, how we can serve you, how we can serve God, that we can offer an out-breath into life. And then be patient as it formulates into a regift for us. Specifically, again, we ask that you be with all who are suffering, all who have been victims of catastrophe, and most of all, bless the children who are fortunate enough to be born into loving homes, and children who are suffering great distress, great abuse, and torment. Lift them to a higher plane. Take them to where they can go home to who they are and know that that is their real life. And we pray for rescue to them and the end of this problem. All of these problems worldwide. We know we have a terrible problem in our United States, but it's not only here. It's all over the world, as you well know. And the children are God's most perfect creation. This is the way humanity today is torturing God. This must end. And we ask that your power be directed toward the ending of this now. We ask for health, all of us. We ask to know the source of health, that we may refurnish that source in our own being. And as we request all the things we need, we also ask that you feed the hungry, that you help the needy, that you clothe those who are moving into a harsh new season and have no coats to wear. We ask that you give shelter to those who are homeless. And most of all, that you give them shelter into the love of God and the love of charitable people who care enough to help. We thank you for the strength to live the life we've been given and for the joy to be grateful for all that we've been given. We ask now all of this in your holy, precious, and glorious name. Amen. Blessing givers, will you stand and join me now?
Amen. Amen. And amen. Your blessing has been given. Now it's for you to just recline, rest completely, and receive. Take it in with a drinking straw. Take it in, receive. And don't think. Just remember, when you eat, you don't think. Don't even pray. Remember, you pray before you eat. You don't pray while you're eating. Don't pray. Don't do anything with your mind. Just drink it in. Take it in. And it will be there for you when you become ready to activate it. You will activate it in due time when it becomes relevant to your needs and to all that's been given to you. So I will wish you now a happy rest of your day and a wonderful week. May your blessings be received with grace and abundance. And bye-bye for now.